Now, I hope you all did that correctly, because I get really tired of people that don't do things correctly in my workshops. So I.
Oh, we probably all did it wrong.
So everyone able to verify each step in that?
Yes.
Okay. I think there's a step three. Those of you that said, thank God I'm done. Okay, here we go. Ask your partner to close their eyes and become aware of emotional energy moving in inner space, whether it's current or old, the same thing you just did or something else. By the way, when you say, is there an energy present, very often a mind machine that's experiencing peace will say no. But it's a very quiet, you know, very smooth, whatever. There's still something moving. It just isn't a big, jagged, whatever. But it's so. So anyway, see, become aware of emotional energy. Might be the same, might be different. You might take them back to the same situation if you did or another one. But there's the opportunity to notice a movement of energy, however you do it. Ask them if they're aware of a pure, raw experience. And again, this is an artificial situation. Whatever happens is fine. Are they aware of a pure, raw experience? Or pure raw experience and a story. In some cases, because of the nature of this step, you might want to take them back to something in the past, but see what happens. Ask them to describe what they see and feel so that you know, is it a pure raw experience? Is it a pure raw experience and a story? If it's a pure raw experience and a story, have them tell you both. There's a sharp, whatever, big movement of energy. It zoomed in and the story is, I'm angry, I'm afraid, I'm whatever. Get what's... both. If it's just a pure raw experience, then it's just a pure raw experience. If there's a story and a pure raw experience, ask them to watch it and see if the story separates from the pure raw experience or not. If you're truly spiritual, it will separate now in this exercise. If you're not, it won't, and you should feel very bad about yourself. It doesn't matter. If it separates, it separates. It's an artificial situation. It doesn't matter. If it does, great. You have an experience of something that I've talked about. If it doesn't, you'll have plenty of opportunities. It's just, it might happen now, it might not. So ask them to watch it, the story and the pure raw experience, and see if it separates. It may or may not, it doesn't matter. And if it separates, ask them to describe what's happening. Because separation can be experienced in a lot of different ways if it happens, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. They might say, no, I just still really feel like I'm angry or I'm, you know. But if it separates, ask them to describe it. How are you experiencing what we're calling separation? Have them say, it seems like, you know, whatever. It may be there was a voice talking saying, I'm really afraid, and you'll say, they'll say, the voice shut up. Whatever. Narrate what it is that's happening as you, this is the final step, by the way. Some of mind machines are wondering, oh, fuck, is there a 4 and a 5 and a 6? How many steps is he going to take? No, this is the last one. So do this, and then again, when you're ready, switch partners. And okay.
Is it recording?
Yeah.
Perfect. First of all, when I brought up a feeling from the other day at work when my boss was annoyed with me at something.
Asshole.
Thank you.
And, man or woman?
A woman. It's a woman. And I felt like I was on a boat in a storm. And, you know, the waves crashing against the boat and, you know, the heaving back and forth. And I felt it in my stomach and I felt like a little nauseous. So I really felt it. I experienced it, you know, even though I'm not at work and whatever. And then when we asked about the story, this, you know, that's what came up, the story. And then I allowed, well, I was just watching it and the story just faded away. And when the story... like floated away, as it just float, the whole feeling of being nauseous in the boat wasn't good or bad. It was like, oh wow, I feel like I'm in a boat and I'm sitting on a couch. That's interesting. There was no, like, I haven't had that before. It was just okay. So the fear was gone, the panic like I have to do something because Sue's mad at me, you know, that was gone. It was just an experience. Yeah.
Do you feel like you consciously made it separate and float away?
I'm not sure. I mean, I want, that's what I wanted to happen, and that's what happened, but I don't know whether, you know.
Would it be more accurate to say that as you were watching, that's what happened?
It could be.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't really know, to be honest.
Okay. Cool. Anyone else want to share anything?
When I was watching, you know, the raw experience, you know, or feeling it, and I could describe it, and then to see if there was a story attached to it, and usually it would be, I would say, well, you, come on, Debbie, you got to make this happen, you know, you got to do it right, you know, if you don't do it, but I just let it be, which was kind of a little bit scary, you know, and I let it be, and what happened was, you know how the train tracks, when the train goes by, the levers, or the things go up and you can go through? That's what it felt like. And then I heard the train a little bit after that. I was like, oh my God. that was pretty.
You were making these doors rattle.
Oh man. it wasn't me.
If you share, ask questions, you get brownie points that can be applied for a discount on the $50,000 seminar. So I don't want to encourage you or, you know, whatever, but just thought you might want to know.
I mentioned before that I have your Ultimate Key to Freedom book. So I've practiced this, or I've tried it at home. And what's happening to me is I'll come up at the time that I do it, and I think it's relative to what you said when you feel relaxed. You may not notice emotion. So I'll come up with an old My Machine story. The minute I do that, I feel the emotion in story space, on my body or in my body, throat or areas. So I'm not really experiencing the motion in inner space per se. You mentioned you felt that in your stomach. I don't know what my question is, Robert, other than, can you shed some light on that for me?
My bias from my own personal experience and going through this with an awful lot of people that will come to me and they'll say, no, it's happening in my stomach. It's happening in my throat, whatever. The story and the bonding can be so seductive that you just can't see what's really happening. But my bias is, if you're able to see what's really happening, it isn't happening in your throat. It isn't happening in your stomach. That's an old habitual story and way of looking at it. But if you can actually experience it, I just use the word floating. It doesn't have to be floating, but it's appearing in inner space. And there's a very seductive story that says stomach. And sometimes that's because if you were to close your eyes, and if you were to look at where is this thing floating, it's floating geographically in space about where you think your stomach is. But it's an inner space, and that tends to foster the illusion that it's happening in your stomach. But my bias is, it isn't in the body at all. That's just a very seductive story. It doesn't really matter if it still appears to be in the body, except at least as part of On the Road to Ultimate Freedom Awakening, to me it's supportive and useful to have a pure experience of what's actually happening. And if it's actually just appearing in this black inner space and there's a story, to be able to experience that, so that you've experienced the truth of it all, then later on, if it seems to be in your stomach or whatever, fine, you know what's really going on. But to me, it's my bias, that's important. But to me, the more you work with this and the more you play with this, there is the opportunity for the truth to reveal itself, which is that it isn't happening in your body. But again, how old are you?
48.
How old are you?
60.
How long have you been aware on some level of a story that emotions happen in your body, either because you were taught it or because that's what you've thought?
Yeah, forever, right. Yeah.
So you heard something yesterday. You heard it earlier because you read the book, but it's still new compared to how many years you've been alive and how many years it's been when da-da-da happens, my throat tightens up or whatever, you know. So it's not really significant. To me, it's significant to be able to experience that it isn't happening in your stomach or in your throat or whatever else it is. And then where it goes from that, it goes to that. But again, remember, and this is the thing that if you're like me, and a lot of people are and some people aren't, we come to these kinds of things because there are things in our lives that we want to change. And in general, the people that tend to come into my sphere of influence are people that have been trying to change, fix, or improve something for a long time and have tried a lot of things and they haven't worked and they're fed up. So because we're so fed up and kind of impatient, we don't want to be told that now to get the goodie, it's going to have to unfold with a story. What we want is... But the reality is, the way true creative essence works is, as I mentioned before, if there's a point A, which is this thing is problematic, I think my emotions are in my stomach or my throat, and there's a point B of I'm going to experience it in inner space, more often than not, it will unfold over time with twists and turns and different things, and no, it really is my throat, it really is my stomach, it really is anger, whatever it is. And it'll unfold over time, and when you get to the point B, you've had this amazing journey, this story is unfolded. Again, it's why novels aren't one page. So a lot of times things like this happen, and a part of us would like it to be yesterday because we're so fed up, but that's not what's been written. So the opportunity is, if you want to have like a to-do list kind of a thing, we'll talk about this, is just keep watching it. Mm-hmm. Well, and keep saying to yourself, okay, what's going on right now? Da-da-da-da, it seems like it's in my throat. So, okay, watch this thing that appears to be in your throat and see if the truth reveals itself to you.
That's good. Yeah, because it was giving me giving my mind machine another opportunity to tell the story that I'm not getting this. Yeah. And because it was appearing in my body. And then the another story was, well, of course it is, because I've had so much body stuff. You know what I mean? In the stories and stories. And so that's good. It's just let it be where it is and how it's showing up and then watch it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there are other wrinkles for some of us. This may be true for you here or you, it may not be. This kind of stuff happens, and it's happened to me a lot, which is that, and a lot of healers and stuff will tell you things like this, is that, for example, an emotion will appear to be in a throat. Somebody will appear to have a problem with their voice or whatever it is, and it's tying back to something in the mind machine about when they were a kid, they could never speak. Yeah. Or if they spoke their truth, somebody would tell them to shut up or whatever it is. And so what's happening is something like this is happening, and then the guy like me says, watch it. See if it's really in your throat or not. And you begin to see things, and then you begin to see things, and then you begin to see, no, it's not really in my throat. It's really in inner space. Wow. And then a piece can come in that says, and by the way, the reason it seemed to be in my throat is because da-da-da-da, what I was four, and my uncle, you know. And that can be an interesting story element that ultimately becomes, you know, you just don't know where any of this stuff's going to go. But the truth is, and we're going to get to this, there's nothing else any of us can do except watch what's happening. We're going to call it something else, I think it's tomorrow. But, and so that's all you can do. You can't make anything happen. You can't separate anything. You can't force this out of your throat and into inner space if that's the way it's appearing, or your stomach. All we can do is watch. That's all we've ever been able to do, truth be told. And this will be probably more real to all of you tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday. But and then see how the story unfolds. Really, just like it's you're turning a page in this amazing story. But where it goes, it can go in these amazing places on a path like this, because you never know what's there. And you never know what's been written. Just like in a really great mystery, a really great thriller, a really great novel, a really great movie. Like I said yesterday, you may think you know where it's going to go and what's going to happen in the ending, and then all of a sudden the author, the screenwriter, throws a curveball. And it was, I didn't see that coming. Wow, and that was a great story. You know, you just, true creative essence is like that with our stories. And so, who knows? And then there's other pieces like that, too. There's some, I'm the dummy, and I'm the one that never gets it. And
I'm not doing it right.
I don't think this is going to come out, but we were talking about this. So I'll share with you, just because you all know you have your own craziness. But I used to have this thing. And you'll understand the genesis of it when I tell you some of my story tomorrow. But I used to have this thing that if I'm going to be a speaker, I have to be perfect. I have to be thin. I have to be ripped. My skin can't have a pimple on it. You know, everything has to be perfect. And the Mind Machine story was because if it's not, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm not going to have any credibility. And if I was getting ready to do a workshop or a video for something, and I had a pimple on my skin or something, or I was 10 pounds overweight or whatever it was, there would be a thing that would pour into inner space that would say, "You're in trouble, bud." Someone's going to say, "Well, if this stuff of his really worked, he would be thin. He wouldn't have an extra 10 pounds. His skin would be perfect. He would, you know, whatever." And it, and there was all this congestion and fear and all this stuff that would... but then it would move through all of this, and these things would change as these layers were peeled back and the guided tour and all that. I can't remember why I'm telling this right now, but there was something about what you said that's all part of...
I'm not doing it right.
Yeah. We all have our equivalents of those kinds of things. Crazy stuff that the Mind Machine got built with that we worry about. And but if you look at that, that's crazy. And what would come into my mind sometimes, I don't know if some of you know, but a very, very famous, very, very successful man is a guy named Jack Canfield. Chicken Soup from the Soul guy, whatever. He's, you know, sought after, gets lots of money for everything. He's got a big belly, and he's had a big belly forever. And I've known that. He's a friend of mine. At the same time, what would happen is, Robert, if you gain a little bit of weight, you're not going to have any credibility. No one's going to listen to you. And here's this guy that everybody's listening to that in his body is bigger than I've ever been and probably ever will be. And it obviously hasn't made any difference. There's no, it doesn't make any sense. I've never had an experience ever of somebody saying, "You know, I was watching that video and I was really kind of liking what you were saying. And then I noticed you had a pimple that I rejected it all." Or if what you say is so great, how come you don't have ripped abs? You know, I mean, never happened. But this crazy shit gets poured into because of stuff with the Mind Machine, or I'm the one that never gets it, or I'm the slow one, or I'm the whatever. Or I, again, I mean no disrespect here, but you were talking about fears of having being destitute 6 years ago.
I know.
6 years is a long time. It's a persistent story. Hasn't happened. Could, but probably won't. But Mind Machine dynamics make it still appear to be scary, even though on some level, if you really look at it, or someone else does, it's ridiculous. But this is what happens in phase one. This is what's in the cloud cover. Some of you may have heard me say this. You look at phase one of the human game, it's a loony bin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing makes any sense when you really look at it. People's behavior doesn't make sense. That some politician, as an example, that knows that the media is following them, has an affair and comes out of the door of a when they're running for, I mean, it's great, it doesn't make, it's a loony bin, but it's a loony bin because it's all about experiencing being opposite, and it's about experiencing loony bin, you know, I mean, it's, but all this stuff can kind of start, you start to see what's going on, you start to see it's this machine dumping this crap into inner space, and you start to see how it used to get you by the throat and make you afraid, and how should I respond, took you in some crazy direction. When I started to really see a lot of this kind of stuff, I really just started to crack up because it's insane. But it grabbed me by the throat for years, and this would appear, and I would believe it, and I would really think I was worried. And sometimes I wouldn't do a video. I wanted to record a video on a Tuesday, and this would come up, and it would be, nope, I can't do it. This video is going to be up there forever. And I don't want my face to look bigger because my weight's a little bit up forever. So I'll wait and do the video when I've slimmed down. I mean, this kind of crazy. Or I'll wait till my skin clears up, or I'll use makeup. You know, I mean, it's crazy stuff, but we all have it.
I said one time, is he wearing the same shirt that he wore? No.
Yeah. I even had some of that kind of stuff. I have to wear a different shirt every time I do a video. I can't ever wear the same shirt again. And if you were to say, why? What's the possible negative? There wasn't any specific negative. It was just, it would be negative. So, and plus, I like cool shirts. So there would be a thing where I'm just going to wear all my cool shirts when I do these different videos. But it's just, it's this crazy Mind Machine stuff. It just is. And ultimately, on this path, we'll talk more about this, there's the opportunity to see it for what it really is, be in a truthful relationship with it. And then in general, as we talked about, a lot of it, that kind of stuff tends to fall away. And if it doesn't, then it's just kind of humorous and interesting. You know some of this when you study the art of storytelling and they talk about creating characters. One of the things they tell you is create your character to have some weird quirks. You know, have them have a limp, have them have a scar. Have them stutter when they talk. Have them this or that. Have them have some quirk because it makes them more whatever. Some of these things don't disappear because they're part of what makes your unique character, and they don't go away, but they also don't get you by the throat or cause a symptom or a problem or whatever like they used to. Anyone else? All right. Okay, we've already done that. But just for the hell of it, all of you just raise your hand like that. Okay, good. Look back on your past. I'm starting to put in quotes more and more and more because of where we're headed with that. Look at all the things that supposedly happened to you. Look at all the events that supposedly caused you pain or discomfort or hurt your feelings or whatever language you want to use. Look at the times you struggled with the illusion of negative emotions and unpleasant sensations in the past or now, if there's something up currently. What really happened?
Raw feelings came up and you told yourself a story about it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all it ever was. No different than reading the same thing on the pages of a novel, seeing the same thing on the screen of a movie or a TV show. Truly, exactly the same thing, except a story that said, which we're going to go into, me, mine, I. Plus, how do you know you have a past? How do you know any of it actually happened? Right now, if you were to become aware of your past, how would it appear?
In my mind. Story.
As what?
A story.
Yes, but how would it actually appear? What would actually show up in inner space?
Feelings.
That's part of it. What else?
Kind of a movie, a visual.
Yeah, could be a photograph, it could be a video, it could be.
Like a foggy.
How do you know it happened?
I don't really know.
Can you prove it?
No.
Is there scientific evidence that tends to support the fact that people's memories are distorted and flawed? Mm-hmm. What's memory anyway? This is just truth virusy mindfuck stuff. It doesn't really matter what you say. I'm just throwing wrenches into the mind machine right now. But what's memory? It's a word that points to something. What is it?
Events of the past. But I don't know what that's past. Memory is a different thing.
It could be feelings of the past.
If you describe the pure raw experience of a memory, what is it?
The story of your past.
I think it's a picture of this or video of the story you created about whatever was happening.
That's all it is.
How we wrote it.
That's all it is. Everything else that gets added to it, or every time I remember that, I feel that's all story. That's all cloud cover. All it really is, and all it was at the time was what?
A story I made.
Something that appeared in story space, and then stuff that appeared complementing it in inner space. At the time, that's all that happened. So when you... which we went through before, when you dive into anything in story space and you follow it down to the bottom, where do you end up?
In the field.
Yeah. So if somebody said something to you, imagine them for a moment staring at you like your boss yelling at you. So your boss is sitting there yelling at you. If you dove into them and you took it all the way down to the bottom, is it a boss yelling at you?
No. It's just field.
And if it looks like a person and you're hearing them yell at you, what is it really? Not as some metaphysical woo-woo whatever, but from what we talked about yesterday, what is it really? Your eyes are picking up light that get translated into
a
body. Your ears are picking up vibrations that the story then is, this is my boss yelling at me. This is before the mind machine even tells stories about any of it. It's all just layers of illusions and layers of appearances and then stories that tell us things about it that take us, you with me? But we would say, no, that happened to me last week. Or all of you probably have your equivalent of some memory of some very difficult thing, and whenever the video plays with an emotional or sensational soundtrack with it, you feel like shit.
Yeah.
or you feel scared or whatever else it is. But all it really is just an appearance in inner space. And then you start to look at it, the whole thing just falls apart for reasons that we've talked about. But again, this isn't important. It's just throwing wrenches into them. Just thoughts, just convincing stories appearing in inner space. That's what your past is right now. That's what memory is, whether it's accurate or not. But then again, it really gets screwed with, because have you all had an experience of something where somebody else is in the same place that you were, experienced the same thing, but had a different interpretation of it or a different memory of it? And again, here's something again, just because it's interesting and also because it throws a wrench into things. To me, my bias, I can't prove this, is that the following happens. The scientist will tell you, da-da-da-da, objective event happened. And then a bunch of different people saw it, and there was this one thing that happened, but then different interpretations of it for whatever reason. What I think actually happens sometimes is that, but what I actually think happens other times too, is here's five people, five things happened. Mm-hmm. True creative essence shaped itself into five different thises that five different people saw. You could call that multidimensional or whatever you want. This, to me, is how fluid reality really is. It isn't that one thing happened that was interpreted differently. It's that very often things are different. And this is something that I find interesting that helps a lot of people, especially couples, because very often we'll get into an argument and somebody will say, you said this and it really hurt my feelings. And they'll say, no, I didn't say that. I said this. And the reality is, there could have been two multidimensional realities happening, and you saw a them that said this, and they experienced a them that said that. And you actually experienced different things. Because true creative essence does that sometimes as part of what's going on in stories. But the way it seems is, no, one thing happened, different interpretations, they're not remembering right. Or you're not remembering right, whatever it is, but one thing happened, and my bias is no. And sometimes when this happens with your family or whatever, you're talking about something, and somebody will say, that isn't what Dad said. That isn't what happened. No, this is what happened, but our assumption is someone's memory is flawed or whatever, but to me what actually happens very often is different things happened, and people actually experience different things. I call it multidimensional realities, but that's how crazy and fluid everything ultimately really gets to me. And all of this ultimately is freeing, which is why I call it ultimate freedom, because again, you don't know, it doesn't matter. It's all just stories anyway, but that to me is part of what is going on. So put that in your pipes and smoke it. Based on what you now know, what are the following really? Thoughts. Emotions, judgments, pleasures, pains, past, future. What are they really?
Stories.
Yeah. That's all.
Did you go back? Did you go back to that list?
Oh, I gotta go back twice, I guess. We moving? Yeah, okay.
Now I have to go tell my brothers they weren't crazy, because I told them they didn't remember anything right.
And it is possible. But see, this is something you're going to hear a bunch of my story tomorrow about stuff that happened with Cecily and I. My story is this stuff happened. At the time, Cecily was aware of it and then went into denial. Blocked it out of memory, it was too painful, whatever it was. It's possible that's what happened. The other possibility is there was this multidimensionality thing going on. And I experienced her saying and doing da-da-da-da, and in that same exact moment, she experienced herself, not because we're all biased and have whatever, but two different things were happening. Doesn't matter. To me, all that matters is what appeared to me. But the fact that these other things can be going on, and it is supportive to ultimately being in a truthful relationship with everything. Because remember I said before, the mind machine usually doesn't investigate, it just buzzes and whirs and comes up with a decision. All these things tend to stop that, because all of a sudden it starts to get really complicated really fast. buzzword seems like this to me. Well, maybe it is. Well, maybe it isn't. Maybe they were seeing something else. Maybe they're not remembering wrong. Maybe they're not in denial. Maybe, you know, and then and I don't know, how am I going to find out? I can't go to Cecily and say, hey, was there a multidimensionality thing going on there? Did you see something else? There's no way to resolve it. So ultimately what can happen with these things is that the mind machine just says, forget it, I give up. I'm not going to, in the way that it appears. You know, it's really just true creative essence changing it. But it just, that's how, to me, how fluid everything really is, and that you really just have absolutely no idea what's really going on, and then you ultimately just have to bring it back to what can you observe in your own personal experience. Which is, in this case, like the example I gave, this was said, this was done, these things happened, and then there appeared to be no recollection of it, kind of a thing, or whatever the equivalents are. So on level one, all of these are just appearances, but in general, they're just stories. If you're reading a Harry Potter book, and you hear, Harry Potter thought to himself, shit, when am I going to ever defeat this Voldemort guy? It seems like he's always a step ahead of me. That's a thought, right? Mm-hmm. Is it a story?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There isn't really a Harry Potter. He isn't really thinking it. It's the author shaping herself into Harry Potter having that thought. So ultimately, they're just appearances and they're just stories. And they're meant to be experienced just as stories, or at least that's the opportunity with ultimate freedom. Kicked out by the mind machine, more often than not, into an inner space you are observing. Those words aren't perfect, but you know what I mean. But what did we used to think it was? It's happening to me, it's real, it's my thoughts, it's my feelings, that's how I think about it, that's how I feel about it, this is really bad, this is really good, they're really awful, whatever it is. Which we don't tend, although there are some exceptions, to think when we're reading a novel or watching a movie. There's a different relationship to it. Some of you may be feeling like that, may have been all day, who knows, maybe not. So, what's the solution to the riddle of how to master your emotions, which most humans struggle with? What's the real solution? What's the solution to the riddle of how to control your thoughts? What's the solution to the riddle of how to deal with body sensations, body problems, whatever it is?
Observe.
She's looking at me. Please give it to me. When you're in a truthful, with a capital T, relationship to it, which means you're experiencing this without this or these separate, the riddle resolves itself. However it resolves itself, there are a lot of different ways that it can. No other solution to my bias will work. It'll ultimately reinforce the same kind of stuff. The only solution is to be in a truthful relationship with it, which means, in a practical sense, the pure raw experience separated from the story. And when that happens, everything changes about everything. Emotions, people's behavior, the body, sensations, everything, and everything ultimately, you could say, becomes much more enjoyable and rich at the same time. Much more to say on that. So we came back a little bit after two, so let's see, where are we here? Okay, let's do this quickly and then we'll take our break. If this is what I think it is. I think it'll be, do this and then it'll be, yeah. All right, so just watch this. It's a truth virus injection. It's a truth virus implant. It's a fuck with the mind machine exercise, whatever you want to call it. And then we'll take our break. You ready?
Yep.
Is that microphone off?
Unless you're way into things like auras, there's kind of only two ways to think about what reality really is. The first view says reality is everything that would still be here if there was no one around to experience it. But the problem with that is that as far as we know, we humans actually do exist. And a lot of the things that we can all agree are real, like language, or war, or consciousness, wouldn't exist without us. So the second view says that reality is whatever is most fundamental in the universe. In this view, if you wanted to know why the stuff around us behaves the way it does, you have to look beneath the surface, to see that everything is made of molecules. But if you want to know why molecules do what they do, you have to realize that they're just clusters of atoms. And atoms are groups of protons, neutrons, and electrons, which in turn are made up of quarks and leptons. But even quarks and leptons are really just made of fields or strings or something. In fact, no one's really found the smallest chunk of the universe yet. But we can continue down this path if we think of particles as fluctuations that occupy a bit of space for a bit of time. In other words, the particles aren't really what's fundamental. It's the space-time they sit in. And what is space-time? It's a set of coordinates, three for space, one for time. And coordinates are just a way to talk about numbers. So what is a number? Does it really exist somewhere? Yeah, kind of. It's a concept, in our minds. But it's not just like any old concept. Numbers are the same for everyone, everywhere. 3 to me is the same as 3 to you, which is the same as 3 to the Queen of England. So by this line of reasoning, the most fundamental thing that exists, and that forms the basis for everything else, is math. But that's weird. If math is really the ultimate reality, then how would you explain something really complicated, like consciousness? You might start by saying consciousness is what human brains do. And to understand brains, you have to look at neurons, which are cells and behave according to the laws of biology. But biology is just complicated chemistry, and chemistry is just complicated physics, which, as we saw, is ultimately math. But we just said that math is a set of ideas that exist only in our minds, so that means somehow we're back where we started. To explain consciousness, we had to rely on consciousness. That may seem crazy, but it's not the craziest part. It turns out we can construct all of mathematics from the concept of an empty set, better known as nothing. That means that if math really is whatever is most fundamental in the universe, then reality is ultimately based on nothing, which is to say that nothing is what is real.
Okay, put that one in your pipe and smoke it. All right, let's take our break. Let's be back at 3:50 to resume the craziness.